he wrote back. So
Alex wrote back. So in this one, if you write back to him, you have to say, yes, Ken says hi too, you know.
I already wrote that.
Yeah, well, that's what I asked you before. I didn't think you did.
My prompting is saying, Ken says hi, by the way, is what him...
Oh, now, you see, if you're lying, you're a good liar. That's smart.
No, I wrote to him, he's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, I'm at the Imperial with Pub Drone Podcast.
So you lied on my behalf.
Ken, well, and you, if you'd known he'd contacted me, would have said hi. So I'm like, Ken says hi, and he wrote back, and I'm probably going to go to his place after this.
Good. Good.
Brotherly love, you know?
Well, you get along better now that you're not living
together,
right? I was
wondering just what the fuck was going on over there, but it frosty. That's what that is.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
well,
gotta be.
I hadn't figured that.
It's gotta be frosty.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
It does in its own frosty way.
To dress up.
But yo, my frosty.
The thing is, they're all Spanish speaking.
Oh, are they?
Yes. So it's not eerie. There's more to it than that. But it could be here for an intensive English program.
It could be some sort of a Spanish analog to your Japanese program.
Well, I don't get my girls dressing up like that. But it is...
Well, then you're doing something wrong.
I saw them outside. When I went outside, I saw them all standing there, you know.
Oh.
Open the door and bumped right into them. Oh, that's interesting.
Like, oh, it's a whole King's Quarter, the cast of... Alice in Wonderland.
It's one of those team building things. It's one you don't want to miss. Everybody else is going, yeah, why
yeah,
not? You know,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
Somebody talks to me, they're going to wear these things.
Well, they got all the spades together.
There's nothing spontaneous about it at all.
No.
You know, it's
no.
All planned and mapped out. It's
yeah.
But, see, it's bonding.
Yeah, no, I did the...
The men have to be dressed up as well. That's where it goes over the top, right?
What's wrong with that?
That's more gutsy. No, I'm saying that's more charming.
I think you'd look good in a dress.
I've never had the courage to do that. To get into a dress. Have you? No, he hesitates. That means he has.
Yeah, I think there's been a couple times where I've been some of these women.
Just willingly or on your own, privately, or...
That's how I get comfortable on Sundays, Ken. No, it's,
wearing a big,
I think
like
once
a,
was at, like, a camp thing. So
oh, yeah.
And then the other one, I can't remember now. You know what I think it was? I think it was, I was bored at my house, and I had some friends there, who were just good girlfriends, and they, suddenly, they're like, we want to put makeup on you, and I'm like... Yeah. Sure, what the hell? And now there are pictures on Facebook, probably, so that didn't work out.
I've smelled women's dresses.
But you've what?
Smelled women's dresses.
You need to turn on the recorder. So
I think it's on. I'm not even going on this. Yeah, yeah. It's
oh, shit.
This is a welcome to Gappage 10.
Gappage 10.
Yeah. The raw one.
The Catalina episode.
Well, it's. I mean, the thing is, here we are at the Imperial Pub, by the way.
Yeah.
Again. Remember the last time we recorded number 9? Weren't we here?
Yeah, I think so.
Place?
I think so. Like, it's either we get out at those podcaster events or we show up at the podcaster pub.
Yeah. I think that was the last day of summer. We did the last one, August 9th, on the last day of summer.
That was officially the last.
That's what that guy said, who I sat with outside, and then you were talking to at the bar, you know, independently.
Well, no, I was fighting with him for
the
favor of...
If you look at some of the coincidences that have gone on, wasn't there another amazing coincidence? Maybe not. Maybe just like...
I don't know. That was a while ago. I can't...
That's true. Well, that was last time we recorded here.
I was drunk then. I'm drunk now. Yeah. What the fuck do I know?
Anyway, welcome to Gappage 10. Here at the Imperial Pub, the official home of
the podcasting scene. There's the Gappage podcast, but I tell people it is the de facto podcaster.
It's a podcaster's bar.
Yeah.
See, we got to expand that idea. It's not just podcaster's night. We have to let them know, Richard, you know, I'm disappointed he's not here today. You know, hey, This is, are you crazy? We've picked your bar. We've anointed you, the Imperial Pub. The podcasters have anointed you. Not that you didn't go looking for us.
We anointed you. We just ended up
an official podcaster pub.
It has to do
get on to it, man, because podcasting is the coolest thing going in Canada now. Podcasting is cool.
It is.
And this is the thing, people don't get that. The non-podcast, all the podcasters know it. Yeah, this is cool. Our buddy Sean puts it the weirdest show. And he did the BFS show, but the one before that I loved. What was it?
All Radio Access.
All Access Radio.
Oh, all right.
And but he's a cool guy. We know him through podcasting. And so it's connections, it's friendships. Well, so any institution, a bar says, "Oh no, I'm sorry, I don't think I want to be associated with podcasts."
Right. And then all the media companies in Canada being like, "Yeah, no one's watching your fucking show or listening to the radio."
If we work it well, we'll be getting beer sponsored to us in here. You know, we'll be doing
that. Well, someone has managed to finagle that for a couple of the other events in the past. Yeah. I mean,
they have. We at Molson did an amazing job.
See, I missed that pad when Molson sponsored.
Oh, well, no, I'm not talking about the podcast Montreal.
Oh, okay.
That they did. The one when they rented out the John Lennon suite and the Robin
Yoko
suite.
That's the one I missed. I was at the first one. I was there to break it in, you know.
You and I became friends. This podcast was basically created the first one.
I think we became friends here at the Imperial. It was
when we went
to Montreal that we realized there was material for a podcast.
We started our first date.
Hey, yeah.
Should we tell them our date?
What's that?
Should we tell them our date?
I'm going to let that one sit. Yeah.
I don't think anybody's accused of it.
Since you said that, I'm going to say that I've been resisting and namble a joke about us ever since the show started. Yeah, like every fucking week.
You've had a gay joke about us.
No, not a gay joke. A NAMBLA joke.
A what joke?
You don't know what NAMBLA is?
I don't know a NAMBLA, no. Oh, you gotta tell it now. If I don't, maybe some of our listeners
don't.
Well, if
I say this, then you're gonna give me a dirty look. Because
yeah,
I was hoping.
It's about time I gave you a dirty look.
I was
We're getting along too well for.
I was hoping that you know. Okay, NAMBLA.
This won't succeed if we do not get along.
Alright. NAMBLA stands for the North American Men Boy Love Association.
Men Boy Love Association. Are you a member?
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not.
Oh, is that how you see us as man and boy? See, I don't. I thought I'm thinking we're the same age. You know, we're
no. See, I'm thinking we're not. I'm thinking.
Oh.
See, I'm worried that you know
well,
someone might
sense
come by.
From my point of view, I'm looking for a younger man. You would be right if I was gay in my position.
Well, see, I'd be the boy in this situation.
But it's actually it's not your body I'm after. It's your father's money. I feel awkward
in all kinds of ways that you didn't know could be possible.
Well, I didn't find out until today.
More awkward than that guy.
I don't think they feel that awkward, but now is it? I think they've done
the
photo op. I don't
even issue with the hairy legs and trying to adjust himself.
All right. I think that's what started it all anyway, that whole group out there.
Yeah, so I'm glad I finally got that out of the way.
Yeah.
I've been, ever since the show started.
You're saying you've had a crush on me from the beginning.
No, I'm saying there's been a joke in my head that I should say that this is like some sort of like twisted, insidious NAMBLA podcast.
I like that.
Like some sort of like.
If I didn't know what NAMBLA meant, I'd be very happy. But,
well, NAMBLA is funny because on The Daily Show, do you watch The Daily Show?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I miss more than I watch.
Okay, fair enough.
But I like it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. Whenever, or frequently, when they speak about an organization whose name is an acronym, so it'll be like, you know, the American Automobile Association, or NAMBLA. they're like, they everything is always or. Because if you what, and you know what's twist? Let me find the NAMBLA logo on my phone. You have to see this because it's like an M, but the M is on top of the B.
I will.
This is.
Well, I hope it's not going to look like the N letter N is going into the bum crack of the B or something.
It
you know?
Really does look like
oh,
that.
Oh, no. Well, I think this show is off to a slightly different start, right? We're celebrating our 10th anniversary in Fine Style. We didn't get any particular groups of people calling us in or calling into us to congratulate us on our 10th show. Right?
Yes.
Our listeners just let that slide by. Yeah. 10th show. 2 digits now.
You know, we like finished the 9, didn't hear shit. Yep.
Exactly. Not a bit.
Like, oh, I almost had the 10th. I'd like to hear some congratulations,
guess, you know,
from all 4 of the people that listened.
Let's say for 15, you know.
Yeah, let's get some people being like, yeah, good
job. Number 15. You
know, one whole year of gappage.
And I suppose we'll have to remind them, you know, at show 14. Hey, come on, 15's coming up. You want to hear some accolades for show 15. That's the picture. It's catchy picture.
That M is riding the B.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite as...
it's not quite as vulgar as you were hoping it to be.
Yeah.
But that M is definitely on top of that B.
We can even look at it. Oh, that's the purpose for it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's,
I don't think I want to read through it.
No,
but
it's not worth
it. But I think you ought to put a link up there on our show.
I'll definitely put a link so people know what that is.
What a way to get a whole bunch of listeners to this show.
Suddenly but that's like a...
Do we want
people
NAMBLA
typing NAMBLA in podcast?
Do we want them? Now, you see, at this point, we shouldn't rule out a gay listenership or anything else.
I think
at this point, we should be aiming to get 20 listeners.
Yes.
2 dozen. No,
24 is really good.
Yeah, 20.
20 is quite
20 listeners.
The top.
Yeah, let's not be greedy. Let's not, you know, that's too. That was cheap. So,
yeah.
20 listeners would be happy. 20 listeners. And see if we can do a count. If people could actually email us in. What, do we have an email address or something? How do we do this on Twitter?
Shit, we never announce it. It's gappages, GAPAGES @gmail.com.
Is that it?
Yeah.
You got that one?
I'm pretty sure we do.
I don't
or
or we better check before we put this.
Or out. My email is closetgeekshow.
That's what we've
done. That's what we've done.
Okay,
no, I know we have a gappage set up though.
All right,
back and forth.
Try it. We'll test it. You know,
this closet geek we'll show, it. And you're what?
Dixon James. Mine's harder. DICKSNJAN.
See, because it's the N that fucks with people.
Well, the thing is, I've always had it though, because the original name, the joke was Dixon James. You know, so the boy. Boys could chuckle in the Dixon James, you know, oh yeah, putting it to the girls, you know, the Dixon.
Holy
the
shit,
James.
I never realized that.
Well, that was the original, that was the secret meaning from the early readers. You know,
holy
Dixon
crap.
James.
So he just blew my mind.
It had to be an apostrophe. But, it's just...
See, I thought it was just a reference to the Dick and Jane books. Like
it
the,
is. Well
yeah,
is.
No, I know it is. I know it is, but I didn't realize a deeper pun.
Well, they're
I love puns like that.
Yeah.
That's...
They change.
I'm really impressed.
Dixon James change, you know, and that's the thing that's remarkable about it. They start us off on these simple little white boy, little white girl, little wagon, red wagon, little dog, cat, dead. It's sort of supposed to look like this middle class 1950s America, you know?
Yep. It's like a,
and then
like a simplified
and
Norman Rockwell
that
painting.
System. That's your starting. Like, I mean, you know what our first books were? you couldn't have had them at your age. Think and Do. And you kind of liked them, but they must have been a lot. They were called Think and Do.
You said it's an insult. Like,
how much plainer could we make it to those guys? Think and then do. You know? And that's funny.
That would get me in a lot of trouble, let me tell you.
No, we should try and get that before we release that. That'd be a great Gmail address. Think and Do. It's got to be taken, right? Think and Do.
Probably.
But look, we had Think and Do books. And, you know, they'd give you a problem, and you probably...
You had to think dot, what to do, and then do it.
Connect the dots to make a cave. Something hard.
Wow.
No, but they were there, you know, you didn't want to fail on Think and Do. You wanted to be able to just work your way through those things pretty darn easy. You didn't want to be held up on your Think and Do books, you know. You'd be off to a bad start. If you couldn't do your Think and Do's, oh boy. Do you imagine? But that's all, but then,
I can
the point
think
was,
or
this
do.
Change.
I can't change.
I would say a big part of it had... The fact of us discovering weed and being off the hash,
You're a big hippie. I thought you, like, discovered weed to begin with. Like, as soon as that hippie thing started, you guys were smoking. As far as I'm concerned, that's how it works. I don't know. I'm very, but I feel very appreciative to know an actual hippie. You don't understand.
Well, I don't know.
Because hippie's a derogatory term now.
You see, I'd also been, it shouldn't be.
It should, no, and I get mad at people when they, like, complain about hippies. I'm like, hey, that person's
term,
not a hippie. I know a hippie.
The
he's
derogatory
a cool
term that I could have applied against me, some people call the weekend hippie. Well, that was a real insult.
Weekend.
Just a weekend hippie. Weekend, you kind of chill, do what you want.
Okay. But
during the week,
you're
going to college.
Or any of that kind of shit.
You're going to college and you're doing stuff like that. You're just going to your class. You're still living that, like, you didn't completely, you didn't
I kind of think
out.
Of you as a bit of a bell-end hippie.
A what? A bell-end?
A bell-end.
Bell-end.
Like a knob.
This doesn't sound good. This sounds like it's an insult.
It is.
That's pretty uppity of you. Suddenly you found you. And you said that at the beginning of the show. Now we're going to find that chink in your armor, you bastard. You're roasting
now you're
me.
Being racist.
You're being a prick. You're being a prick.
Saying chink on our podcast. I can't believe you. You just said it.
I said it, yes.
God. Racial epithets.
You don't have to be a real prick when you get drunk.
I do. I got a couple in me and I'm a bit of a dick.
No, a couple. That's four, you know.
Well,
my one.
Got to start off right.
But, anyway, should we
start the show? Like 20 minutes in.
Well, I actually think I thought number 9 was one of our better shows. I think this might even be one of our better shows.
Better than better?
I would say better than 9.
I wouldn't say best because that would be like topping it out.
You're limiting yourself.
Right? No, we want a lot of way to go before it's best.
But yeah, slow starts are the best. But I'm still delighted. I think Gappage is one of the best podcasts out there. When it's out there.
When it's out there, I really enjoy doing it. Yeah. And it's by doing this show occasionally.
Well, should we tell
them? That I feel like I'm allowed to show up to the podcaster events.
And should we tell them that other listeners, the premium listeners, are hearing a lot more shows. The ones that you're getting now are the ones you haven't paid for. These are the free damages. The premium listeners.
Yes.
I've had four times this many. Podcasts.
We don't really advertise it.
No, we don't. We don't, because we don't want them. You limit yourself. Surely you would have asked by now. We want the kind of people. The other people who are premium people, or people called in, say, dudes, can we have more shows? And we said, yeah, but hey, man, it's going to cost a bit. So the premium listeners are paying, what, $50 a month? It's not a whole lot. And they are getting four times as many shows. We're up to
one show.
In fact, we are going to use part of this on show 41. I'm going to take part of this and put that on show 41 for the premium.
Just to tell them that we're taunting
the the ones who were too stupid to write in and ask for the premium membership to start. But, like, surely there is such a thing. Please, guys, we need more Gappages.
Yeah.
Those guys being rewarded. I'm glad you understand me right now, because this is important. I think we've got, this is a little bit of a business meeting. We're telling the premium listeners now, and we're talking to the radio listeners. So only, this is number 10 for them.
This is a
rare crossover episode.
Yeah.
God, you're smart.
Are you coming out of me?
No. I didn't say good looking. I said smart.
I don't know.
But you are looking a little impish.
Impish.
A little impish.
Well, you know, go grab a beer and I get my Mac on with the ladies and I get a little impish on the way back.
Impish, yeah. You're that kind of a guy. What's interesting is about all the men walking around dressed as women is that they're very straight-faced.
You know, I'm looking at this group here and I'm trying to think of Spanish-American war jokes, but I don't want to steamroll that or something like that, you know? Like,
and it was your friend who got his nose broken, right? And he was sticking up for you. He was actually coming after you. He just got in the way of it because he's such a good friend.
I was not involved at all in that altercation. All I know was my buddy showed up bleeding from the face at the VIP table. He's like, I got punched in the nose.
Can I tell a story? This is a downer story, but it's a good story.
Well, I guess we're all about the downer podcast. One felt like kind of a downer, or I was just burying my soul. But if you'd like, you're welcome to it. Do it up.
Well, I don't know. It really bothers me, this thing. And this was,
okay. Well, I will put on my serious.
Well, it was. All right. I'm not revealing anything. Our listeners are going to pay the price for you being a prick. I'm not going to tell that story.
Okay.
You were such a fucking jerk when you got drunk. You really are. No, seriously.
I'm trying not to be a jerk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Says I really am trying.
With the most sarcastic fucking look you can have on a guy's face. It's the kind of face I'd just like to. Just slap.
I can't control. Whoops. I can't control this face when I'm drunk. So I would love to hear your story. As I say, that's a little sarcastic asshole.
So are our listeners, and they're so pissed off at you right now, you know. Bang, you're fucking it all up.
Come I'm on. Not here. Tell right. your story.
Well, it was at a YMCA.
Oh, YMCA.
YMCA. Probably I was in Greece. Yeah. That smirk off your face right now. YMCA, grade 4, probably. Maybe one of my first dances at the local YMCA. Gee, you're not with my parents. You're going after students. And you're just going to the YMCA because they're holding a Friday night dance. And there's a Coke machine and all these things. You know, you buy your bottle of Coke. You know, big thing. You get your money and buy it. Maybe somebody might be stepping outside smoking. We're not talking about dope here, cigarettes. Or something, you know. But in one section where I left the dance to go get a Coke or something, a fight was in progress. And one guy was on top of another guy and was punching him in the face or something. Two guys, teenagers. And the guy who was being hit was saying, don't hit me. This really pleaded, really unpleasant. You know, don't hit, like, he's crying. You know, he doesn't want to be hit in the face. Like, don't, I don't want to fight. And I walked up on that scene. Everybody was standing around watching it, but nobody was stopping. Nobody was yanking the guy off the guy, you know, which is what we should have done. And you stood there, and I remember, I don't know, it was a combination of thoughts. It was like just entering the dark world of adulthood. This is real. Somebody's getting hurt. This isn't my school teacher scolding somebody. Somebody's getting hurt. Now, this is not nice. I don't like this. So almost entering, you know, the darkness that you find when you're a teenager, into the darkness a little bit. It represented that kind of world. Then we got a good backdrop for this little clip here right now. But never forgotten this scene, you know, and there's probably a nagging sense of, well, you should have done something.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go on forever, but it chilled me, really chilled me. You know, oh, fuck, this is awful. And I still to this day have mixed feelings. Part of it is another voice just telling you a certain way, singing, that guy lying down there shouldn't have been crying, don't hit me. He should have been hitting back.
I don't know. That's what makes it worse.
Well, he was down there. He was just getting this guy off. I think he was. You know, why wasn't he defending his face? Why was he saying that? Why? To me, it was a situation.
You don't know exactly what the situation was that led to that. There are a few situations that lead to another man jumping on top of another one and beating the face in. But
yeah.
Still.
But I felt for the guy.
Yeah.
I did not like the guy who was doing the beating.
No.
But I all felt for the guy. I had a lot of mixed emotions about the guy who was being hit. I guess that's it. You know, like really sore from one end. But I think this is why I still suffer when I go to the dentist. As soon as that guy opens up and there's a high-speed drill, I think you could really hurt me right now if you wanted to. And as soon as I have that thought, I know people do get hurt real life right now, right this minute, all over the world. That's too ugly. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think of these jails in Argentina or Chile during the Pinochet regime. I don't want to think of people being hurt and tortured. It's just too bad. It's wrong. I don't want to believe it. It exists, but there's that guilt of you can't escape that thing. We have to know. And maybe that is the lesson of Christ nailed to a wall. Don't fucking forget this, guys. People are suffering. Maybe that's just the message.
I hadn't considered that.
Neither had I till now, but it really strikes me that way. Like, there is that connection. So I said I would think, but hey, we put on back-to-back shows of opening up a little bit, and
I'll be glad to change the topic, but I'm glad I got that out too.
That's a powerful story, Ken, and you're right. Like, it's... You don't want to come upon... I've been in that... Not in that exact situation, but you used to someone getting beaten or something. You want to do something, you want to intercede, you want to pull that guy... But you don't know it even led up to that point. But even then, like... To witness that is so discomforting.
Here's the thing. The guys I really feel for are the dumb guard who's standing outside that jail thinking, fuck, I'm glad that's not me. I'll obey whatever fucking orders they give me because I don't want to be in there being hurt like he is. So I'll just close my mind to it, you know, and so these, and this is what a man I love, former Argonaut, Pinball Clemens, has gone to schools, and his pitch was not about bullying and stopping bullying. It's about the bystander, the one who sees something bad happening in school. And he'd be out guys and they'd talk, and I had gotten to my local school with my son, some of his class, I guess, some kids. But that message is very powerful. It's the bystander. And we're bystanders in a long way by definition. Being Canadian makes us bystanders. Now, there's another brilliant thought. Because we're trying to do Canada and Japan relations. I attended a lecture. I'm glad I did. This is serious. You know, Yuki, Victoria, professors talking about what are Canadians and Japanese relations in a changing world was a topic. And, you know, four or five professors, Japanese and Canadian, and former ambassador, you know, and the consul general opening speech. And it felt neat. I was sitting up on the... It was Isabel Bader Theater. I was sitting up above. There's a perfect seat to sit in. Like, nobody there. You know, like on a balcony thing. A nice, comfortable chair. Lots of leg room. You're looking down. You're right near the front. And then the consul general meant by the second time, speaking to the Japanese person behind me from the industry, sees me, comes back, you know, reaches to the railing to shake my hand, and you feel, that's good. It's nice to be known by the consul general of Japan to stop and ask me how I am, you know? It was a good feeling. I felt I belonged. And in talking to Siddhi Keita, my wife sort of cares for people, and he's recognizing, and it was the most really amazing connection. Somebody who knows me and knows my wife in two different roles. We're never together.
Yeah.
But he knows her, and she's doing just an amazing job looking after old people and Japanese people and giving them care and kindness, and people there recognize the Japanese people. She's doing this good thing. It's a good karmic thing. Not how I got onto that. But, well, Tok-Sol having another emotional conversation with him, and he was saying, and she needs you. She needs you because you're stable and so on. And he was saying things to me nobody said before. It was sort of weird. So, but I'm also like, whoa, this is Sid. I want to be so sad when Sid dies. Like, I've grown also into this Japanese community. I've been enough to the last year. I was thinking, I want to cut the ties. I want to end the Japanese thing. But my tour came back this year, and I've been like today, and I am told the president of my company in Japan, I had said, I believe. I'm having another revelation, but like, seriously, I had told him my destiny, my fate is tied to yours. And I was saying to him, and I've never been able to figure it out since I said that time, that 10 years ago. Like, he ran off, you know, and I can't go back to Japan. He's living, hiding out in South America with his beautiful fiance. This is a married man, head of the company. The story of that company I work for is the most amazing story. Like, it involved big money and probably Yakuza and lots of things. It's another tangent I'm just going on to. Right? I was getting to conclusion there. Before, I was talking about this president. Maybe our listeners will remember, you probably don't. I was so close to...
No, I'm trying to isolate what nugget that you're getting at.
It was prior to that man. That was a tangent that threw me off. And I'll come back to it. I'm standing here sitting and waiting. I did too.
That's what happens when two stoners have a conversation. Talk about something and there's something else and learn nothing.
And they get into it, but that's one of the things about being one of the problems. Well, no, you go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Well, new topic. I was just caught up in some. Oh, my destiny being tied to Japan.
Right, now I got it. That's what you're on. Okay.
And telling him my destiny's tied to you somehow. He's the one who hired me. He owned the company. He's the one who got me a house in Canada. He's the guy who looked after it. It's good. Now he's off in South America. Can't go back to Japan. Living with his mistress, who was also a beautiful woman. Like, he came out to my bar to tell me with this woman, I just love this woman. Like, she was a Japanese-Brazilian woman who was brilliant. Could do Brazilian, Portuguese, English, and Japanese. Speak all three. Jump from an IBM to Japanese to Canadian computer, or an Apple computer. Brilliant and beautiful. Tight sense of her in Japan. Yeah, and they trusted me. I went off on a holiday. I went off. The director of the East York Board of Education, the president of the company, and his mistress, his Brazilian mistress, together. We drove off for a weekend together. Beautiful Japanese. And that sounds like a homosexual event. I mean, me and the director of education, who was gay, by the way. But it wasn't at all. But I got in on their secret little life. The story I have would make a very good movie. No, the story of the inside is coming back. I was led inside of this company. I was the drinking buddy, the president of a Japanese company during the peak of their bubble. Like, into the bars, Ken, and you've got a woman here and a woman here. You got your little snacks and your food. You got both of beauties pouring your drinks and you're sitting there. Because as soon as he walked in, whoa, he's the cool guy.
I wonder with the Jaguar, the Porsche.
Well, seriously. I had those. You know, you pile in this car, you had a Porsche Carrera at one point, a Jaguar, just. And any one of these bars, as soon as he walked, I'm not using his name because it's like, yeah, I don't even want it. As soon as he walked into the bar, boom, he was number one customer. And there'd be a pianist and ask him to play a certain song. Jazz. I had to sing Route 66 with him. I had to go. That was his song. Not the obligatory, you know, as long as I was going to be a drinking pal, I better be ready to sing one song.
Yeah.
But at the end of the evening, he'd just hand me $100, you know, and take taxi home and, from wherever we were in Yokohama. And great, another night out drinking with the president of the company.
Wow.
I just lucked in. And so I told him, Japan, and his my relationship is tied to him, my destiny is tied to him. But it's bothered me ever since I said that, because it's not true and I don't want to be. Because I'm American. But now I'm realizing, you know, it's still in Japan somehow. I still have this connection to Japan. And even today at this conference, I'm thinking, I can't turn my back on this. For what? You know, if I had a whole lot of money to give a scholarship, you know, it'd be to send someone to Japan, then I'm thinking, no, it should be to send someone to Nigeria, bring a Nigerian here. But there's a connection. There's a connection to it. And it's one I'm ambiguous about. Because I also know people's ideas. People are still living memories of Japan during the war, and that Japan, which Japanese people don't seem to know anything about.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. So it's still a love relationship with the country and with the people and stuff like that. It still happened. It was my destiny. Well, on that one-way trip out of Vancouver, you know. But lost a girlfriend. I had a really hot girlfriend at the time. She ran off the taxi driver. She was that type. But she was... She was hot. She was nice. And so I arrived back, and then just suddenly, okay, my car died. Got Vancouver. She had some other man. She'd still fuck me if I wanted, but she's got this other guy. And I was just emasculated by, I can't compete with a taxi driver who's got, you know, knows all the after-hours bars all over Vancouver and dicks out drinking. She's looking for more of a man than I am.
Yeah.
And so I was depressed. My car died. That was fine. That was, you know, funny. I got a driveway car. But arriving out in Lou, that's the end of that relationship. I hadn't really been counting on this one. And then no jobs, like a 2-week shitty job. And then the letter, you know, come to Japan, lots of jobs here. And then that, the night of getting stolen, looking, flipping through that book. This is true. I mean, I'm making it sound like folklore, you know, like I'm building up this Abraham Lincoln story here. But randomly, Gladstone flipped open the book, and that focused right on that passage. Come and join the cosmic dance. This is the Alan Watts book, and it was just that was the middle passage. And come and jump, that meant be free, boom, jump into the universe, and go off to Japan. You know, he says, hey. And then going up on the roof, and the best fireworks were from Yokohama. It's like, it's a call. Like, hey, yeah, made the right decision, buddy. Those fireworks from Yokohama, that name called up. And my destiny was, I went to Tokyo. I did not like Tokyo. I ended up in Yokohama. And I loved it. I fell in love with that city. And that's where this company was and all these things were. And Yokohama was, that called me. My great-grandfather was in Yokohama in 1860s with a British Navy. I have a picture of me hanging on the, and I'm drinking off a little side street off Bashamichi Dori, the main carriage street, when they first put the Europeans in there. So very close to where this is. My president of the company had a private restaurant, and he would just call up, the secretary would call up, okay, I'm bringing two people over. Sometimes he just wanted to play Go with a friend, and he'd just tell her, and she'd go and shop. And there's a mama-san from his island, Shikoku, and she taught his mistress how to go. So this is a secret rendezvous place. You know, he had a place in Yokohama overlooking, up on the hillside with the wife. His wife was the daughter of a big Buddhist temple leader, so they're not happy with this behavior. This woman arrives in Yokohama and applying for a receptionist job. No, he sees her through the office. She's my personal assistant. Yeah. She's the one who signed with him the contract that created my first company, Karincha Kenji. You know, she played a part in this whole thing, and she trusted me, and we were friends. So I still sometimes exchange money, but I have not been down to South America to see them, I should. But I was just getting at how Japan, that the circle completed, was just that little passage down much. And then to prove to myself, I went into the bathroom, still high, looked in the mirror, and said, I'm going to Japan. Like really loud, right to myself.
Like to yourself.
So I can't back it up. And then didn't tell anybody for about 2 weeks. And then one night at meal, drinking some wine. Oh, guess what? Going to Japan. Like I sat on until I knew it was true.
Right.
And it was my destiny. It was my fate. Like, dude, I got two sons. I'm really fucking proud of. How the fuck did I ever get married? I didn't know I was getting married. I was just like, oh, this is true. I'm working out that. It's just bizarre how that random thing. Getting hired by the best possible fucking company I could possibly. It's like God was playing a nice little game. I gotta reward Cameron, you know? Give him something nice. Boom, punks me down. This company could not have been better at a better time. You know, just so, like sometimes I think I've died and gone to heaven. Now that sounds awfully stupid. Something wrong. But I think I'm happy. I think I'm realizing I'm a lucky person. And if you are and you don't know it, you don't roll up to it, hey, you could be taken away from it. Anyway.
That reminds me of something completely unrelated than the idea that...
Good. It's your turn.
Well, not completely unrelated. And I don't even know if this is a thing for Gath. It just occurred to me that what if this that we're living in is actually heaven?
Well, that's exactly what I just said, right? I'm glad you said that. I mean, I think it is. The fact is. But, sorry, no, it's real life, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm an atheist. It's this or nothing. But I, like, you know, it's... I don't know, it's...
This is the Buddhist thought, though.
Yeah.
Like it is. This is. Just wake up. They're just saying, hey, wake up. That's the message that they're putting out. Just wake up. And when they say wake up and smell the roses, yeah, just like enter the world and That's what Timothy Leary really was saying. Hey, he was way ahead of his time. But the one so weird and so frustrating about America is they've done like the Soviets did, painting somebody out of the picture. They just did everything to discredit Timothy Leary. He's a nutcase, he's a crackpot, he's insane. You know? I mean, he was a red. He did escape. He did go off with the Panthers to get into Algeria and so on. He was. They finally did pick him up. But they were after him. They were afraid of him. Hey, whoa, what is this guy telling our children? We gotta get this guy. Now, fortunately, he didn't kill him. He's got out and lived to tell his tale and carry on. He was way of it. He was into computers. He understood the internet long before. His last half of the books are all done on it. Like, he is a guy you should be reading more of. I have his biography. I think I have two copies, and I owe you a copy behind me. His autobiography is fantastic.
Well, I mean, you know, I've probably talked about this on this show before. The Terrence McKenna guy that I follow, who's like a poor man's Timothy Leary, it sounds like. But.
A poor man's Timothy Wheeler? Sorry.
Leary. Yeah. Terrence McKenna was a anthropologist who postulated that the thing that led to human, or one of the things that contributed to humans arising out of sort of the ape species and us thinking about sort of like these thoughts like religion and self-reflection and culture and all of that was initially set off by packs of roving, like, humans, I guess, following around different herds that they were hunting, and then finding on the cow patties of those herds mushrooms that had psychotropic properties that psilocybin in small doses, which is what's in mushrooms, increases your visual acuity.
I know. I picked them in Mexico.
Well, so then there's an evolutionary advantage to consuming those things while you're hunting. And then if that becomes something that's regularly done, then he thought that maybe that would be sort of the inspiration for a lot of these sort of ideas that separate man from animal.
That getting high. Basically, you're saying what he's saying,
like,
is
getting high is what caused the separation from man and human. I don't know. He's also has a whole lot of crackpot ideas. So,
well, that's an interesting one.
It's an interesting
thing. The thing is, the Mayans did it too. Okay, the Mayans did it. Only 1,000 years ago. But they tied boards to the head to grow into a pointed head. And you wonder, okay, what's the real advantage of doing that? Like, why would you do that? A pointed head? And played brutal games, too. You know, like, if you lost, you'd lose your life. And they're still primitive.
Yeah.
They all were. Okay. Why did I pick on the Mayans just now?
I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, okay, so that's right. And so what I'm saying is they ate these mushrooms. They lived in the second half, but they were still probably a very cruel people, you know? I don't know how high. Now, maybe that's a bias, you know? How do I know they were cruel? I thought, but all the pictures, the gory pictures of these skulls being cut off from their heads, it's a clue, you know?
Well, but again, you move across the other side of the Atlantic Ocean and you have, like, you know, shit like Vlad the Impaler.
It wasn't isolated. Yeah, it's the course of humanity. And I think this is why we are so troubled, relating back to a theme on the previous show, is because we have become aware of that. We're not tuned out. It's not like the world is getting smaller. We are getting interconnected. We are aware of more things. And therefore, we're going to carry some of the weight of that. And the responsibility, and maybe the fact is we're just going through a guilty stage because we know somehow we have to do more. We don't know yet what it is, but somehow,
so you like, think I'm some sort of like societal guilt
Is that what you're thinking?
I think that'll play a big part. I think it'll be a big role, and it's sort part of our revolution. It has to be have to
revolution of how the state of the planets and all of that kind of stuff.
No,
and
but to be kinder to the other human beings, to somehow deal with this thing other than a way other than war. And that somehow learn, okay, I think that's
I don't
where
get
we
what
to.
You're saying. How do we get their territory? That doesn't sound like something that comes out of holding hands and seeking peace on Earth.
How did we get their territory?
So we beat them on the head and took it. And if we run out of territory, we need to still have
that idea. Yeah, but we've gone a long way past that. We haven't. No, we're not. And you're lumping that. You got to define who is the we, because it's each little group and tribe is fighting over territory, land, and water, and so on. We could be just a little fringe group just dying out. People like ourselves who reflect on life. Oh, what role do they play? I know what they
well,
and the warriors could take over.
Yep.
And win. But I think we're supposed to be, should be a little bit smarter than the warriors.
So
we
is this
should
a
be
new...
using this to get our message out there. Peace, man.
Is this a new renaissance?
Now, you believe that, or you wouldn't be asking it. You're trying to pose it as a question.
No, I am asking a question, because I don't know if I'm
talking
shit or not.
Well, I think it could well be. I think the hippie time was a starting point. I think there's been a little bump in the road since then, as maybe society tried to squash it. How did they squash it? They created the disco generation. Hell, my God, everybody's... Well, it was just that they gave them a drug, and suddenly you were from these hippies, and jeans, and sandals, and incense, and spouting philosophy, and suddenly you're in a disco bar, and they're wearing two-piece suits and gold chains, looking like John Travolta. The women are dressed in gowns and purses, like, whoa, who changed them into these robots in that period of time, in 10 years? Like, how did they bury the hippies all together? And then they're coming back now, but and then create this other, this bling generation, this group of consumers. One of probably my finer points and the lower points in my life was going into a place, used to be called Goofies, I don't know what the last name, in North Vancouver, dating a woman who was actually my boss at this company for the mentally handicapped that I worked with, and had been severely burned. Well, that's true. But anyway, in a relationship with this woman... No, there was a point, North Vancouver. Damn, this is embarrassing. I got sidetracked with a woman.
It happens every show, don't feel bad, man.
No, I don't. I think this is worse than some. That's the second story. It was about the hippies, but they do come back to me. It was about the hippies and the burial of the hippies by this generation of John Travolta-like disco generation and disco music. And I guess people said, well, every generation has to change, but it was zip. Obviously, this one has been brainwashed
full
into...
full 180, yeah.
You know, whoa, full 180. And I'm like, whoa, how did that happen? And there was just like a ton... I remember, so I'm going into Goofy, still... And I'm just looking at all these people in the gold and the suits, and it's like a top of it. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, where did they come from? You know, it was really, really weird. But with this woman, the story I was getting at, there's a dance floor, of course, at Goofy's or whatever. And I got up there and I just dried, probably half drunk, stoned, you know. And I let off a terrible stinker of a fart. Like, really stunk up the whole dance floor. you can just ignore them, but there's nobody who, you know, the partner you're dancing with is the first to pull. And everybody else around, it's a stinker. And you know you're looking guilty. You're the oldest guy there. You're dancing like an old fart somehow. This is still 30 years ago. But you're guilty. You know you're guilty. But there's also a sense, well, you fucking deserve it. So, yeah. All right.
Is that where the phrase old fart comes from?
Yeah, well... We probably almost done this whole damn show. We may have to do another...
We're at 48.
About 48. Yeah. Well,
It's good. It was an effort on the show.
I think you talked this whole show.
Most of it. Well, I gave you a good part of the last time.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like the back and forth. You
well,
know,
it wasn't always surprised.
It doesn't always have to be us fighting about things.
I was absorbing
the story.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is so weird. I don't understand. I like you more every time I meet you. Like, I mean that.
This is so weird. Every time I meet you, it seems to think I should come out of the situation loathing you further, but despite myself, I like you. Well, thanks, Ken.
I think it's just because the friendship gets deepened. Like, yeah, we put this off. But whenever you and I do a Gabbage podcast, we have a fucking good time.
Yeah, well, and people don't realize this. Every time we do a show, you and I are just getting to know each other better, because
we are, that's true. That's true. That's always
before that, the only times we're meeting up is at the podcast.
That's right. And it's sort of like I've just assumed we know each other very well. Like, we've been friends for a long time. This is an assumption. Because we started off, boom, right in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a good way to do stuff. So it was one of those rare little connections. Yeah. Weird ones, you know. But I'm glad of it. I'm very glad of it. And I'm glad we've actually put it into real life. Like, I'm fascinated by this process of having an idea, a thought. And then it becomes real. So we've taken that thought. I feel like we should do a podcast together or something. And here it is. Somebody right now is listening to this. Somebody out there in listener land is hearing these words. And, he's talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are talking to people out there. But mostly we're just talking to ourselves, to each other. And we're letting them listen in.
Yeah.
That's fine. Good formula.
I'm good with that.
Fuck you. All right.
I think we should close this.
Did we tell them how they could reach us? Yeah, I think we should do this.
I know
we did it on our last show. I don't know if we did it on this show. I don't think so. Anyway, I'll go
through this. closetgeekshow@gmail.com.
All right. Closetgeekshow, is that all one word?
Yes. closetgeekshow@gmail.com.
You left out the underscore. There's underscores.
There's no underscores. No, it's one word.
No, don't use a Windows machine.
You can put all one word. You don't need... What's the matter with... You fucking Mac people, you think you know you shit.
Yeah.
You know, I started as a Mac person. So. Yeah. Let's not go there.
No.
It's another hour.
Now, last time I believe we separated cats and dogs. I think we could separate apples and non-apples. And you get it.
I get what Apple is.
Yeah.
I don't get what they're positioning themselves as now because I don't feel like that fits in with who I am.
Well, I mean, they made mistakes along the way, you know.
Here's the thing.
Newton and so on, but they're going back. Like, Steve Jobs, about spooky. No, this is...
Steve Jobs is so full of shit.
But he has been this vision for this. He's an old acid head. He's an old hippie. And he, you know...
Was an old hippie. Well, Steve Wozniak is an old hippie.
Yeah, and still...
Steve Jobs is a businessman who took all the fucking money from him.
He is. But he still has that vision. I mean, he did go and start that other computer company after
what, Next? That didn't make any money?
Which didn't matter about it being money. It was ahead of its time in design. They got tons of people. He's the one who's brought in Pixar and all these connections.
He's a savvy business guy.
Savvy business guy, which you have to respect. No, I'm going to say he's not now, but they created something. There's something about lore. Like, I can't see anything that Nike's done other but shoes and t-shirts and so on. Here's a guy who's given us tools that are very powerful. Like, he just made it easier. Or that company made it easier, you know. He played a role in that. And I won't give him all the credit, but I am grateful for Apple computers.
Fine, but for the last 10 years, it hasn't been any of those things. It's just been marketing and positioning.
You don't want an iPad? You're not interested?
No.
Boy, I do. When the next generation comes out.
No, this show's going to go on longer. How can you be... Scarborough Dude, Mr. Podcast, Mr. Amateur Podcast, and you want an iPad. An iPad, you can't make anything with an iPad.
I don't want this generation. I want the next one when it's upgraded. Because
it's still not going to be a creation device. It's going to be a consumption device.
Okay, here's the main reason. Like, that's insulting.
You already have a TV.
That's insulting. You have to even tell me that. No, I do read these blogs, and I listen every week to all these people.
I say it to people
and
all
I
the
see
time,
it, and that's
why
I'm saying I'm
going
to wait one thing. But I want it as a consumer device. I want to be able to read a really nice... I'm old. It's hard for me to see. I want to have that super screenless, super big text that I can scroll through and read really colorful and bright and fun ads. Google's built right in, and they...
and everything else. I want a consumer device.
I understand that.
I want a consumer. But I also want to be able to sit and receive email on it and other stuff, you know. And
here's the thing for me.
New pictures, new video Skype with it, and so on, you know.
The thing that confuses me about the whole Apple ethos and how they've managed to finagle getting all the designery creatives, people that do what I do at work, you know, like the
everybody who wants to get somewhere is going to work with Apple.
All the designery people have been wooed by.
They got a good team. They want to join that pirate ship.
No, they don't. They're allured by sexy design. But the actual
sexy company
is fine, but it's still locked down as anything. My point is that creative people who are all about making new things and creating
are grateful to Apple for making it so easy.
No.
Well, they did. They are the ones who simplified it.
But I don't understand why it's so
simple. That's how I can put out a zine. I have to thank Apple for the zine. Apple has been a huge part of allowing me to be freely creative.
Yeah,
and they are
you're
one of our sponsors, you asshole.
You're creating freely.
Who's going to give me a free computer? If we send those things, how do you fuck it all up?
I don't care, man. I'll fucking pay for your new computer if that's what it takes. Like,
I have given them so much money. Like, I should be bitter. If you came home, if you came to my house, you opened the closet door, and you saw the amount of money I've given Apple, and I don't have a single fucking share. Hey, Apple, it's time to start.
Right, you've just
shares.
Been investing in an idea. But if you actually, Apple is so locked down with everything they do. I don't understand why all of these creative people that want to make things for themselves and make new things and make great things, why aren't they aligned with the, you know, PC side of things, which lets you do anything, which lets you make anything. You don't have to fucking ask Steve Jobs permission if we can put this application on my phone.
Twisted view. This is such an, and it's quite funny. It's almost not like a little sickness because I hear so many people going on and whining about Apple. And
but I'm an old Apple
so
guy.
Much.
That's
yeah,
the
I know.
Thing.
So you're the worst kind. You're like a reformed smoker or something. You'll come back.
I won't come back. They lost me a long time ago, and I'm never coming
now,
back.
Now, so is it the money thing that they lost you, but the fact that they gouged their fans?
It's certainly the gouging.
That's a big part, yeah.
But it's also the attitude, and it's also the lies in their advertising, that they'll go in and they'll put out an ad talking, like, blaming Windows or whatever, shit that happened like fucking 10 years ago, like still talking about it like it's
Windows 95. Now you're just looking for reasons to hate them.
Surely
that
doesn't. I've been looking for reasons to like them for a long time, and they've
this
been
is like a sports team. I hate those fucking Philadelphia Flyers because they're
assholes. Is better than everyone else. You're not
this is like
better
sport.
Than everyone
this
else.
Is just
you're
another,
the same
this,
as everyone
this is
else.
Another sport.
Just because,
bashing high
just because you don't have corners and you shave those down doesn't mean you are better than everyone else. Like,
so,
how messed up is Steve Jobs that he took a open thing. He took Unix. He took an open, or Linux, he took an open system and then built Mac OS X on top of it, which is a super closed down thing. Like,
is this
that's
really
messed up.
Why,
it really
why
does. It really
is, why does it bother? So you're angry with Steve. You're angry with Steve Jobs.
I'm a little angry with Steve.
Now, does Steve in any way resemble your father?
No. No. It has nothing to do with that. It's the acting like you're one way, but the way that you
it's carrying
yourself in a certain way, but the way you behave is different from how you carry yourself.
Not authentic.
Right, it's inauthentic, and that's what Apple is.
Now, is that not one of our bywords here on this podcast?
Yeah, it is. So that's why I'm confused that you're so pro Apple because they're the most inauthentic
people. The stuff they put out,
know.
I don't think a whole lot about Steve Jobs, and I do like the stuff. I want to get an iPhone. That's gonna work well. I don't have one now. I don't need one. I love my little Motorola Razr. You know.
Yeah.
But it's not a big emotional issue. I like it's just to me it's like collecting cars and looking at nice cars. I looked in today. I pulled out a drawer of an old Apple. Gee, was it Mac Weekly or whatever? Really nice glossy magazine. I used to love when we were in Japan. The biggest thing you could get was your Mac World and Mac. What's the two of them?
The two magazines
in the early days. God, that was exciting. What else are they coming out with? You know? It was almost pre-internet. You had the magazines and just the last one. One guy would keep it longer and have to get it from him.
I don't know.
But it's an easy thing to follow. But yes, I wish I had. Apple shares would have been much fairer. In fact, they should go back. They should do a database check, go back to all the records, find out how much money Ken Bull has spent at Apple, and give me a bunch of shares.
They should. They should. They should. All of their old supporters.
So, are we going to wind it down?
Yeah, I think we should wind it down, because we were saying we were going to wind it down in like 15 minutes.
I know, and then you got all excited about Steve
Jobs. I got
Jobs.
All pissy about Apple.
I know,
sorry.
You really did. You kind of wrecked the show.
I'm sorry.
We were actually doing quite nice, yep. And then we actually had some communication. And then
it was like really like nice and deep.
It was,
and
almost, it was almost a religious rant. It was very, very close to being religious.
I've tried to keep religion.
Is that something you're
show.
Trying to suppress in your own life?
What? Religion.
Religion. Your own religion. Your...
I'm an atheist. I don't have religion. Let's not get into that.
We'll do that on our next show.
Keep that out of the show entirely. I don't want to offend anyone.
Well, I think we both are. So I think this is something else. It's a little cute putting under our names, you know. Ken the Atheist, Brent the Atheist. I only came out this year as an atheist, really, to claim, and I'm still probably one of those people. How could you be an atheist and still believe in ghosts? Well, yeah, I do believe in ghosts. I've met ghosts. And so, you know, it's probably stupid to say I'm an atheist. Well, this, by the way, is Gappage number 11. No, we just finished 10.
No, we finished
last week.
Last week was 9.
We did 9. We
this
finished
is
10.
No, no, last
this
week
is
was 9.
11.
This is 10.
We finished 10.
No,
we finished when we
9.
Had that argument about stupid fucking Apple computers. This is the beginning of a new show. This is Gappage 11. You're confusing our listeners.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, okay. You're right.
I got confused.
God, that's feeble. Well, I don't think we're going to get much done of the 11th show. This might be an introduction to it, but you seem in absolutely no condition to carry on an intelligent conversation at all.
I don't think so. I think I'm a little messed up.
I don't think there's anything left in your brain.
No.
From the looks of it. In fact, earlier, two shows ago, I was saying how intelligent you are. I wouldn't say that now at all.
Thanks. Thanks. It takes a couple weeks for the intelligence to wear out.
Yeah, well, I think it comes in short spurts in your case, right? Because I just,
that's what
you know,
said.
I saw, yeah. All right, but that cheap intro, and, you know, this, you can tell how he wants to debase this podcast. We won't do any more now. We'll continue on the next time.
All right.